Hey, everybody, and welcome to You Listen to Hot Garbage. We are the side podcast, the short podcast of Don't Quit Your Day Job. Please be sure to go check out the regular episodes of Don't Quit Your Day Job. That was our very good friend, Mr. Guitar, Mark Tremaglia, playing the riff for the worst era of ZZ Top.
It felt so natural to play guitar and stop and hear booze. I don't know what that says.
So on this show, we're going to talk about a song or a band or an era of a band, and the guest is going to defend that. Yep. So I like early ZZ Top. You like early ZZ Top, right? What's special about early ZZ Top, Mark?
They were a raw boogie Texas blues rock band. Like they played these shuffles. I mean, they played these shuffles like nobody else. They were a three piece. Two of the guys sang amazing. I mean, Billy had that cool, you know, the can you hear the. Yeah, that low voice, the how. Like, that was so cool. And then you had, like, Dusty Hill, who sang Tush, you know. I mean, he was had a great tenor voice. He could really get up there. So they made a great singing duo. Their drummer was rock solid. And Billy had a name for himself already because he played in a band whose name escapes me, but they opened up for Jimi Hendrix. And him and Hendrix were on the road together and hung out and played guitar together. And Jimmy talked about him in interviews about Billy being great. So Billy had a bit of a reputation. And one of the things with ZZ Top was they had like a mystique about them. They didn't allow like interviews at shows. They didn't allow live people like videoing them, and they didn't do pictures. They didn't do like the local news. So they were like, you know, if you knew about ZZ Top, you knew about something cool that nobody else knew about, kind of. That was kind of their mystique back then.
Is it true that Billy Gibbons invented the two-hand tapping thing that Eddie Van Halen later popularized? I've heard that a few times in different interviews.
I think it's Harvey Mandel is the guy that Eddie Van Halen copied. Okay. Him, George Lynch, Eddie Van Halen, they talk about this in a book. They went to see him play at the Whiskey. He had just quit. He was in like a big San Francisco band. It was like Electric Flag, I think. And he was doing a show and he had a piece in it where he did like a. And so Eddie just took that idea of one little simple thing and turned it into. You know?
Right. All right, so back to ZZ Top. ZZ Top, I think, inarguably, undeniably super cool in the 70s. Yeah. A ton of hits. Everybody dug them, playing big shows. And so here, my take on it is they started to drop out of the limelight. And the 80s was all about production, cutting-edge production at the time, which, of course, now sounds like shit, right? So the over-processed reverbs and compression that everyone talks about as the 80s thing, can we simply say that they simply tried to get in on whatever the modern sound was? Because the riff you played at the beginning, which, of course, is Sharp Dressed Man, the riff itself is fine, but legitimately, I hate the way that record sounds. It's crap.
So they were actually in the forefront. They were the first band doing that stuff, and they had done it in the early 80s. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, if you listen to Tube Snake Boogie, or can't think of the name of that album, it escapes me as well. But they had a lot of that electronic stuff already started. And the thing I can tell you from playing with Billy is that he is on the forefront of whatever is new and happening, whether it's rap, whether it's music he's never heard, whether it's an effects pedal, whether it's a sound, whether it's a synth. He loves that stuff and wants to add it. And if you also notice, they used basically the same producer their entire career. So the stuff they were playing back in the day, even though it was like, you know, more of a raw boogie, they were still using the same producer when they did the Eliminator record, you know? So they didn't make some radical change like people think. All they really did was add a synth drum to it because they discovered this Lynn drum machine and it did this cool thing and it helped Billy while he was writing on the road because they couldn't bring a drum set up to the hotel room. So he wrote these songs, and when they recorded them, it just didn't sound the same without that drum machine. So they just put that drum machine on, and that's really all they added. There's a little bit of synth bass, but that was mostly an effects pedal that did that Dusty played live. So they weren't fake, you know, I mean, and just to, you know, even just to highlight how good the songs were, I think in the last 10 years they released Raw, Eliminator Raw, where they just played, you know, where they took it all off. And it's noticeable that it's different, but it's still the same groove and thing. And I think what they did worked great in that era. I mean, I think it's undeniable the fact that they had one of the highest selling records in the middle of the 80s and had three number one singles and were on everything you could imagine. You know, I think they did okay.
But I think that we'll be careful not to equate like popularity or selling records with something being good, because there's lots of arguments to be made that just because something sells doesn't make it inherently musically interesting, right?
Of course.
But they you're right, they sold a ton of records. They were super popular. Like, even my metal friends back in the day were digging ZZ Top. And what part of their image, because they were huge, so you're talking about now a disparity between how they were in the 70s, where they wouldn't even do interviews, to the 80s, where they were on everything, like literally everything, videos and newspapers and magazines, they were everywhere.
They were, because they were popular at that point. There was no getting around it. But if you noticed all their videos, they weren't the main key feature in their videos. And it was a car. It was pretty girls. Like, Billy Gibbons is a very smart man, and he knows what the general public wants, not just the other guitar players or not just another musician, you know? And I mean, the problem with being a musician, which you are, which I am, is like, we look and listen with really different ears, very critical. And if you're like any musician out there, what would I do? How would I do it? Would I do that? I think that's stupid. I think that's great. You know, like, so I mean, all we're doing is judging a piece of art in essence. But if you want to look at the overall impact on their career, I don't think it hurt it one bit. And if anything, it put them into the stratosphere. They were already a big band. But I mean, I saw them in 89 with Extreme, and they were playing San Jose Stadium. So they were playing football stadiums. Right. In 1989, you know, and I mean, I remember the entourage they had. I remember standing on stage watching them going, this is there's three guys and there had to be 50 people working for them. And then like 10 backup dancers, they had, you know, the legs dancers and everything. And they put on a show, you know, I mean, it's three guys, but I don't know if you've ever looked up any YouTube clips of them at any time, but they don't just get up there and play. Like, Billy is a showman. Dusty was a showman. They would do dance moves together. It gets to certain parts of the song and they have cool little choreographed funny things. And like, they're super quirky, you know, they're almost like Cheap Trick in a way, you know, where they're like they're very tongue in cheek. They're not like, and that's the other thing is like, you talk about the album and the song and it's like, it's not that serious. Like, it's Sharp Dressed Man. It's She Got Legs. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to have fun. And so they're using what was new, a new sound at that time. And I think it really worked for it. You know, I mean, I never hated it back then. It was actually the first ZZ Top album I bought, even though I already knew all the other popular top songs. I was watching MTV and I was like, man, this is cool stuff. And there was other songs on it that were killer without any of that stuff.
So do you think that those songs stand up to Cheap Sunglasses and LaGrange and Tush and all of those big hits from the 70s? Do you think the songs on Eliminator are as good?
That's the debate, right? I mean, that's a personal preference. I don't know. And I will say, playing with Billy, we learned those songs. He didn't want to play them. So we learned Sharp Dressed Man. We learned Legs. And I think we learned Under Pressure, and he ixnayed him. He said, no, let's just stick with the 70s stuff. So we did, you know, Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers and I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide. And, you know. So, you know, we did those.
So those riffs sound cool. And I just, whenever I hear Eliminator Era ZZ Top, I just think, it just doesn't sound cool. Why don't I think it sounds cool? It's missing something.
It's your taste. You hate synth, and I get it. You know, at first I was turned off by it, but it doesn't. It's just a part of the rhythm of the song. It's not the song. The song itself is those cool. Like if you listen to the solo of Sharp Dressed Man, that is a wicked solo, and it goes on for a while. But he has some great licks in it. You know, learned it for that Southern Rock gig I did a few weeks ago. And I was like, man, the dude, like, he's so lyrical and so sparse. He doesn't have to play a million miles an hour, but he puts it all in the right spot.
All right. So I'm going to put on, what song should we play now? I was going to play Sharp Dressed Man. Do you think that or Legs? What's the better song on this?
I like Sharp Dressed Man. It's always been my favorite.
All right. Here's Sharp Dressed Man.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Sharp Dressed Man from the worst era of ZZ Top.
How do you really feel, Paul? Don't hold back, please.
So have you ever played, you just said before we played the song that you played with Billy Gibbons himself, the Reverend, I think he's called, right? Do you call him the Reverend? Reverend
Willie G, yes.
And he didn't want to play those songs. Have you ever played any of that stuff live, the 80s stuff?
Yeah, I've done Sharp Dressed Man.
Okay. And how did it go over? That's the question.
People went crazy for it. I will say the other guys in the band were like, why are we doing that? Why don't we play on Bad-Om Nationwide or something like that? And the singer was adamant. He goes, I played it a few times. People really go crazy over it. And sure as shit.
Is there a difference in response between men and women, right? So you get, like, as you said before, the guitar player in the back with his arms folded, listening to or watching the guitar player versus the women in the audience who are having fun because they enjoy music, right? Is there a difference between some of those eras of ZZ Top in particular?
I don't know. I mean, I think they've always been a boogie sort of grooving blues rock band, you know? I mean, I think that's their attraction to the females, or that you can dance and move to their music. It's not like most rock that's, you know, might be herky jerky and not like a real groove. And they always had a swing in their music, and I don't think it ever went away. I mean, even their last few records, again, talking about Billy being on top of stuff, there was some rapper that came out of Houston that he had discovered like a year before the guy became famous, and he helped write songs for the last ZZ Top record, and it was super old school sounding. It was really bluesy and great. And so, I mean, I was like, ZZ Top is back. It sounded like that era of ZZ Top. But, you know.
Cool. Thanks to Marky T for defending the indefensible era of ZZ Top. this has been you listen to Hot Garbage. Thanks to Mark. Yeah. Mark, I was gonna ask you to play that solo out, if you would.
That's cool. On Bad-Om Nationwide.